Hi, this is Pastor Rob Summerall here, lead teaching pastor at Crossroads Baptist Church. You know, here at Crossroads, we have been blessed with a number of men who are very capable preachers of God's Word. Some of them are pastors who've either retired or they've moved on from different seasons of ministry, and they find themselves at Crossroads while they're resting and recovering. Other men are young men who aspire to ministry one day where they will serve the Lord, either as church planters or missionaries or lead teaching pastors. We came up with this idea of using their gifts and talents in a, what we call a preaching summit. We gave each one of them an assigned text from the book of James and a roughly 20-minute time spot where they could present the Word of God to us. We crammed 9 sermons into 5 different sessions, and boy, can I tell you, our church was blessed by this. The audio that follows this is one of the messages from that preaching summit. We hope that it will bless you in the same way that it's blessed us. We hope that you'll pray for these men, that God will use them in the days ahead. And listen, if you're looking for a place to worship, be sure to tune in after this sermon where you can find out more about how you can connect with Crossroads Baptist Church here in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. God bless you.
I scared Rob by telling him I was going to preach in a hat, but I just wanted to bring this as a simple prop and a simple object to kind of bring a point to you. So I'm from Texas, and I love Texas, and I'll put Texas in any illustration I possibly can. So if you're a baseball fan, you know that this hat represents the Houston Astros. And for the last 3 years, previous to that, we used to call them the Lastros because we were awful. We were just terrible. We set records in futility. And in the last 3 years or so, we went from awful to just amazing. Considered even one of the best baseball teams in history during that time, en route to a world title in 2017. Well, as they say, everything is bigger in Texas, so is the cheating. And the commissioner of Major League Baseball, after an investigation and a revealing of some scandals, basically revealed that the Astros had been cheating, and which is why they were so good. So what the commissioner of Major League Baseball did is he handed down the most severe and harsh penalty in the history of baseball. So the general manager and the field manager were both fired. The owner, even if they were to come back, or both, they were both banned from baseball for 1 year. But even if they were to come back after that, the owner just said, forget it, you're fired. The Astros lost 4 draft picks over the next 2 years, which is huge, and they were fined the largest amount available under the Major League Baseball agreement, labor agreement. And what the commissioner was doing was, though that punishment was directed toward the Astros. And so the immediate audience was, Astros, listen up. However, it was also a message to everyone else who plays baseball, saying, take heed, lest you think about doing this too. So there was a direct audience, but there was also an indirect audience. Everyone else who played baseball in the field, listen up. As one newspaper commented, the unprecedented penalties, the commissioner's response to the damage the Astros inflicted on the sport's integrity, should serve as a powerful deterrent to any team that engages in such conduct in the future. So we are in James chapter 3, verse 18. And if you remember at the beginning of this chapter, we just mentioned that chapter 3, verse 1, we are told that not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And so while this section of Scripture is addressed primarily and specific to teachers, there's also a wider audience, and everyone else. So while the particular audience James is speaking to is preachers and teachers, the potential preachers who are studying, the potential missionaries who are studying, the potential teachers on any level of the church who are aspiring to teach, there is a wider audience to everyone else. And as you well know, the reason for this summit in the first place is that we have been blessed by a number of pastors here at this time. Crossroads has been blessed under God's hand to have competent men and their families come and aid the church. Yet with this, there is also potential for damage. As James alludes to in chapter 4, he says there's also potential for quarrels and fights. So let's take a look into the warning and encouragement that James brings to the teachers and the message to everyone else in the church. So we're in chapter 3, starting in verse 13. So James begins to ask, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." Now, James seems to take a quick shift here. We went from talking from the tongue and how dangerous it can be, all of a sudden to a shift to wisdom. But as has been pointed out, if you're familiar with wisdom literature, the tongue is a common theme. And so James rhetorically asks, well, who qualifies as a wise person? Or to put it another way, who is qualified to teach? Who is qualified to be placed in front of the church and say, follow this example? Who is qualified to be put up for the whole church to see? James asks this rhetorical statement by saying, who is wise and understanding among you? And when we want to answer that question, we tend to head to a couple of ways in our mind. We tend to say, okay, well, who is old first? Or we answer, okay, so who's wise? Who is most educated? Or we say, who is most successful in this life? And so those are the things we tend to default answer on what is wisdom. But yet, those are the things that our culture tells us. This is what wisdom looks like. But yet, you can be old and aged and yet still a fool. So warns the Proverbs. You can be educated and have the highest attainable education possible and yet still be a fool. There are numerous examples, manifold examples in the world. You can be extremely successful and yet still a fool. And the reason for that comes to my first point. In James, biblical wisdom is moral before it is intellectual. That's a warning to preachers, and that's a message to all. Wisdom is first moral before it is intellectual. And what James is looking for in a wise person is not first success, not first how aged you are, or not first how much education you have. But James looks for wisdom through first good conduct, good works. The word here is literally beautiful conduct. Is when you think, imagine someone, when you think of their life, your heart just warms to them, and their conduct just makes you smile. That is the connotation brought here. And the second thing James looks for in wisdom is not age or education or success. James points to meekness of wisdom. And you may ask, what exactly does meekness of wisdom mean? And the one author wrote, I thought he did a fabulous job. He said, meekness of wisdom is yielding oneself in ready teachability and responsiveness to God's word. And preachers can struggle with that. Preachers can struggle with pride, like we know everything. So because we know everything, we should teach everything. Like we can kind of devolve into this like Neanderthal kind of behavior. Me know everything, give me pulpit. And in thinking we can know everything, we can desire the positions that are most public, that are most visible in teaching, like this pulpit. And this desire, especially amongst a multitude of maybe pastors, teachers, or preachers, it can potentially bring bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, as we are warned in verse 14. But preachers often just don't want to teach. Preachers want to preach. You know, preacher gonna preach. That's what preacher gonna do. But there's only, you know, the problem with that is there's only one pulpit. There's only one pulpit. And so this competition can arise. You know, and although there is only one pulpit, there are actually many pulpits within the church. Preachers can sometimes, when you get entangled in bitter jealousy and rivalry and competition, you can neglect the pulpit of discipling in the church. You can neglect the pulpit that's at your home, your wife, your own children. You can neglect the pulpit that's in the men's ministry or the women's ministry or even the pulpit that's outside of these four walls in evangelism. There are plenty of pulpits for pastors, teachers, and preachers. And if we would just be willing to see the God-placed pulpit in front of us and facilitated by the elders here in this church at Crossroads, the Lord would bless your efforts. Continuing in verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, and again, he's talking to the church here. He's talking specifically to teachers, potential pastors, and potential preacher or current preacher or teacher or pastor. Everything that is in this verse is the complete opposite of wisdom. Everything. This is a warning to you, teacher, preacher, not to have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, particularly for the pulpit that God has not given you. This is where preachers can seek their own interest. Teachers can seek their own interest on any level in the church. And if anything, we could be more susceptible to this. You can be more susceptible to this. And the thoughts that come into the minds of preachers as we listen to other preachers are like, man, I could teach way better than that guy. Or he just missed that point. Or, man, I'm way more gifted. Or the other types of teachers. I have more experience than her in women's ministry. I can organize things better than her for women's ministry. And my second point, preacher or teacher, wisdom does not look like competition, but teachability and submission. It's a warning to preachers. It's a message to all. And notice James even locates the specific issue at hand. If you are jealous for the pulpit or jealous for a particular ministry or jealous for whatever group, whatever it may be, so that you can get the platform you deserve, notice James locates the problem. And it's not the pastor. It's not the elders that don't recognize your amazing gift. He says the real problem is your heart. A heart that may be unteachable and that does not submit. That is the real reason for jealousy and selfish ambition. And so he continues in verse 14, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Preacher, teacher, if you are feeling secure in your superiority to whomever may be in the pulpit, whoever may teach in whatever group setting, small setting, or church setting, if you are feeling secure in your competition and your superiority, this is a strong warning not to boast and be false to the truth. The literal translates against truth. And the irony is that the teachers of the church, those who desire most to help, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, you can be actually against the very truth that you hope to teach. And there's a warning here. And again, James says the problem isn't that the church doesn't recognize how amazing and awesome you are. He says the location of the problem is your heart. Continuing in verse 15, this, speaking of jealousy and selfish ambition, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Here is the source of this type of behavior. And that's a strong word. I mean, you just read that? Earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. That's a strong word. And the point is, you must have a category for this type of behavior in your life. So my third point, preacher, teacher, on whatever level, even you can be demonically influenced. That's a warning to preachers. It's a message to all. And oftentimes, we don't have categories of this. And we just think, oh, well, you know, you are gifted, or you can teach really, really good, and you should be there, or you should have a small group, not you, or you should have organized that retreat or whatever it may be. But until we recognize what James calls it as earthly, unspiritual, and demonic, we will not see it for what it really is. And we may just continue in that behavior, thinking, oh, it's not that bad. I should get that. I should be there. I should be on this platform. And James says, no, the source of that behavior is demonic. And until we recognize that, we will minimize our behavior in that regard. And what demonic behavior looks like, preacher or teacher, is trying to attain a position in the church that God has not given you. I want a life group. Why didn't pastor ask me to teach when he's out of town? I can get more to attend the youth than that guy. I can run this small group better than them. And it's interesting to note, who is it that appoints elders in the church? Acts chapter 20 says it is the Holy Spirit himself who guides the elders to appoint elders. Who is it that appoints the deacons? It's a church guided by the Holy Spirit. And what we tend to do, and why it's so demonic, is rather than listen to the Spirit of God who shepherds the church to find the correct leaders, we want to appoint ourselves. And we think, I'm good, I'm amazing, I'm awesome, and so therefore I should press for this position. And James calls this type of behavior demonic. And it's sobering to us to think of that. Self-ambition is self-appointment. And again, in this context, selfish ambition is specifically trying to attain a position or a platform that God, through the church, has not given you. And if you don't have the category of demonic behavior in your life, you may not see this for what this truly is. And if you don't have that category, that won't seem unreasonable to you, because you may think you deserve that, or you may think you are that much better. And if the only problem, if all they would do is just put me there, then everything will get fixed. The result: disorder and every vile practice. 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Now again, this is one of those categories of behavior we just don't have in our minds for ourselves. Vile. Like, when was the last time I thought, man, my behavior was vile today? Or that thought was vile? Or what I did was vile? We tend not to have that category in our mind. And we think, oh, that wasn't, you know, I kind of deserve that. Or I am better. Or I am good. And there are two things that the reason that this behavior is accurately described as vile. The first is disorder. Disorder, especially among the church. James is writing to a church. He's writing to real people, real Christians, in a real time and place. And there must be order within the church. And when selfish ambition rears its ugly head, it takes what is in order and tries to insert itself into a place it should not be. And what is the result of that is vile practices. And the second reason is, it's not the character of our God. What is good and what is right is based off God himself. God says, don't lie because I don't lie. Don't steal because I don't steal. And if God is humble, you ever think about that as an attribute of God? He's humble. He humbled himself even to the point of death. If we have jealousy and selfish ambition, it impugns the character of God. Because what the world sees in the church and even outside these walls is supposed to be a reflection of who God is. And so it impugns the very character of God. And we don't reflect the glory and character of God. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Which brings me to my last point. Preacher, be pure. an encouragement to preachers, and an encouragement to all. And this word pure, it denotes ethical blamelessness. And notice I want you to notice the description. All of these, you know, we're thinking of wisdom, and sometimes we confine wisdom to only the mind and what we can and can't see. We don't see wisdom because it's in what we think. But actually, when you look at this, all these attributes you can observe. You can literally see wisdom in work. Peaceable. You can see a peaceable person and an unpeaceable person, a quarrelsome person. You can see someone who's gentle, and you can make an observation of that. And you can see someone who's contentious. You can see someone who's open to reason and someone who just argues all the time. You can see someone who's mercy and someone who's just harsh. You can tell when people are being sincere or they're a hypocrite. These are observable. These are not hidden things like, is that person really wise? No, God gives you a standard, and you can know by his standard if someone is wise or not. And again, a particular message to pastors. One of the things, if there's any one attribute I hear I can look at and focus on, it is open to reason. This word means yielding. Yielding. And this carries the idea of submissiveness or compliance. Submissiveness or compliance. In other words, this takes effort. This is an effort towards submissiveness to the elders in the church. A compliance with the elders and the church. And if preachers in the congregation don't model a gentle and yielding spirit, what do we expect of the congregation? What example do we set? And so it's an encouragement to preachers, and yet even an encouragement to all. And if we do model this, preachers, and set a message and set an example for the whole congregation, we have the result. We have the encouragement. Verse 18, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The result of genuine, visible wisdom in the church is a harvest of righteousness. And it's brought by the means of peace. So preacher, teacher, on any level, whether you're youth, whether you're ladies, whether you're a pastor, whether you're an aspiring pastor, missionary, be wise. Be wise and be an example for all. If you're just a Christian and you're learning the word, be wise. Exhibit wisdom visually in your life so that others may see. If you're a visitor, or maybe someone invited you, or you're considering Christ but you're not sure, yield to the gracious shepherding of Christ. Come under submission to him, and he will shepherd you. He is the good shepherd. If you lack this peace, I really like what was said Sunday evening, or Sunday morning, actually. There's a jealousy that I hope to provoke you to. A jealousy, not to me, but a jealousy for what Christ gives to me. An encouragement to wisdom and humility through example. If you desire this, I would invite you, come to Christ tonight. Come, be wise. Walk in visual humility that you may be an example, receive the message, and yet be an example to all. Let us pray. Lord, I just give you thanks for your word. You are gracious, you are kind, you are pure, you are peaceable, you are gentle. Lord, you are open to reason, you are full of mercy and good fruits. Lord, you are impartial, and Lord, you are sincere. God, help us. Give us by your grace and your mercy and your spirit, empower us to walk in these characteristics. Help us to model, not only as pastors and teachers on every level, but help us model this to everyone, our congregation. Lord, help us be everybody in this church. Help us to be lights unto the world, that we may give credit to you, Lord, that we may cause others by our good behavior to glorify you. Lord, help us to be wise. Give us strength, Lord. Lord, if we lack this wisdom, God, you says, if any of us desires wisdom, that we may come to you. Help us, Lord, with humble hearts, submit ourselves to your word and to your example, that we may walk in wisdom, not only for this church, but for this world. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this sermon, which took place during our 2020 Preaching Summit. We invite you to join us live every Sunday morning at 401 West Poplar Street in Elizabethtown.
We have life groups for all ages that begin at 9:15, and our worship service starts at 10:30. Please stop by our Welcome Center, and we'll be happy to help you get to the right place. For more information about our church, who we are, or to learn more about opportunities for worship, visit us online at crossroadsetown.com.
If you need someone to talk to or to pray with you, you can also find contact information about our elders, deacons, and staff. Any of us would love to hear from you and pray with you.
We pray that this sermon has blessed you the way that it has blessed us, and we look forward to meeting you soon. God bless you.